Proverbs tells us that a friend loves at all times. It also says that the wounds of a friend are faithful. And it encourages us not to forsake the friends of our father. I got to thinking about that, and I have no idea who my father's friends were. But I do know that friendship is a precious thing. The scripture is full of strong friendships. David and Jonathan, 1 Samuel describes their friendship and says, "The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Moses and Aaron, their partnership is one of the greatest examples of two friends working together to do something great. Elijah and Elisha. Elijah, the well-known prophet of Israel, he was the man who called down the fires of heaven, defeating 450 prophets of Baal. He was the man who caused a drought in Israel for 3.5 years through prayer. And he had a friend named Elisha, who eventually became his successor. And Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And it wasn't just men that had good, strong friendships. Ruth and Naomi, their friendship is apparently an absolute oddity. How many of us have ever found a best friend in our mother-in-law? Yeah, all those mother-in-law jokes don't apply to Ruth and Naomi. After Naomi's husband died and then her two sons die, she's destitute, and Ruth was encouraged to return to Moab, and she said instead, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay." A friendship which was stronger than blood. Our one friendship, which we seldom think about when we think of the great friendships of the Bible, is actually spoken of in our text for today. It is the friendship of Paul and Onesiphorus. Yes, Onesiphorus. His name is only mentioned in two verses of Scripture, but he is a friend of Paul who had a great impact upon the writer of so many books of the Bible. He was almost certainly an elder in the church at Ephesus, where Paul had spent 3 years ministering. His name means bringing advantage, and he proved to be worthy of the name, as Paul paints a picture of him as a lovely character that you would want as a friend. Read with me 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 to 18, and we'll see three characteristics of a good friendship. 2 Timothy 1, verses 15 through 18. "You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me. Among them are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know well all the service he rendered at Ephesus." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, as we look to this passage of Scripture, we ask that you would give us insight into what it means to be a good friend and the insight into how to look for good friends like Onesiphorus. Amen. From our text, it seems obvious that Paul felt abandoned. He says, "All who are in Asia turned away from me." and two deserve special mention. We don't know why these two got special mention, Phygelus and Hermogenes. It's interesting that after I'd prepared my message this weekend, I was doing some reading, and I read something where there was a guy named Hermogenes. And my first thought when I read that is, who would do that to your son? I mean, he's one of the bad guys of Scripture. The only thing that's said about him is he abandoned Paul. Phygelus and Hermogenes, they're only mentioned this one time in all of Scripture. We don't know why they abandoned Paul. We just know that they did. And getting abandoned hurts. It seems likely that Phygelus and Hermogenes were people that Paul never expected would abandon him. But they did. And getting abandoned stings. It hurts. And in light of the pain of being abandoned by some who you thought were good friends, Paul thought of Onesiphorus. He thought of the friendship of a guy who also is only mentioned a couple times in Scripture, Onesiphorus. And the first thing we see from the friendship of Paul and Onesiphorus is this: a good friendship brings refreshment. Note that what Paul says of Onesiphorus in verse 16. He often refreshed me. The former televangelist Jim Baker, in his autobiography, I Was Wrong, tells the story of his descent into ignominy, impoverishment, and imprisonment. Baker lost his freedom, his sanity, his dignity, his confidence in his faith, and eventually he lost even his wife. Inmate number 074407-058, that's how he was known. One-time confidant to the presidents had hit rock bottom. He writes that at his very lowest point, a prison official came to see him and said, "Billy Graham is here to see you." He thought, "Billy Graham has come here to this place to see me?" When he walked into the room, Billy Graham turned towards him and opened his arms wide. He said at that moment he felt total acceptance and love. He writes, "I will never forget that the man who had just been voted one of the most influential men in the world and who has ministered to millions of people took time out of his schedule to come minister to one prisoner." He describes how in the midst of his depression, flu, filth, and hopelessness, Billy Graham's visit refreshed his heart and boosted his spirit. He said, "I felt as though Jesus himself had come to me." A friend. A friend brings refreshment. Refreshing means to restore strength or energy or vigor. You can be refreshed by a can of Mountain Dew. I was struggling with that because the best can of Mountain Dew is not the kind I have to drink now. It's way better to have the original sugar-infested, caffeine-loaded Mountain Dew rather than the diet stuff that I have to drink. You can be refreshed from a quick nap. I am a nap champion. One time, Michelle and I were driving to Mississippi from Illinois, maybe Wisconsin. And along the way, I was getting tired as I was doing the driving, and I said, "I'm going to need to stop." We pulled over to the rest area, and I leaned the seat back, settled into sleep, woke up, said, "That was great." And she looked at me and said, "You were only out for 30 seconds. And I drove on for 8 more hours. I am a nap champion. It is really, really refreshing. You can be refreshed by exercise. If you want to try it. I don't think I want to try being refreshed by exercise, but that might work for you. Or you can be refreshed by another person, by a friend who comes alongside and extends their hand to you, their arms to you, they give you a hug, they pat you on the back, they say, "Hey, I'm with you, bro, dude." They just refresh you. Paul tells Philemon that he has refreshed the hearts of the saints, and he asks him later in Philemon to refresh his heart in Christ. He says of Onesiphorus that he refreshed me. He came to him in prison. He found him. He encouraged him. All of us need refreshing at times. A good friendship finds ways to refresh. Of course, one meaning of refresh is to cool from the effects of heat. And you can also refresh by heating from the effects of cold. So we have a refreshing drink of water on a hot summer day, or a hot drink on a cold day. Refreshing one another involves knowing what is needed at this time to bring emotional, spiritual, or physical relief. Something to bring contentment. A good friendship is refreshing to the soul. And you know who brings refreshment to you, don't you? And you probably know people that you could bring refreshment to. So part of the lesson from this text is to say, we can be refreshers. We can be good friends who are intentional about bringing refreshment to other people. The second thing we see about friendship is that we see the reassurance of a good friendship. Paul says Onesiphorus was not ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of Paul's chains, his condition. He wasn't ashamed of being associated with him. Others saw disgrace in Paul's imprisonment. Perhaps they feared that they too would face prison if they associated too closely with this guy who is bound in chains. Maybe they would end up there also. Not Onesiphorus. He stood by Paul. Reassurance. Having your confidence restored, your apprehensions dispelled. As I read through this text and I studied this relationship, I thought it seems a little strange to think of Paul needing his confidence restored. I mean, he's the great orator. He's the writer of so many books of the Bible. But then I remembered he is still a man, chained to a Roman soldier with limited freedom. He was an outlaw, and an abandoned outlaw at that, until Onesiphorus searched him out and found him and ministered to him. I'm guessing Paul had to have had his confidence shaken. A good friend restores your confidence. He reassures you of your place in the kingdom. He reassures you when you're walking with Christ. One of the great ways to reassure someone is to stand by them, to stick with them. For most people, life has its share of disappointments. For most people, life is hard. We all want life to be easy. We don't want to have to deal with pain. We don't want to have to deal with disappointment, with lost jobs or broken relationships. Life is full of disappointments. We are fatigued from a demanding schedule. We have financial difficulties. We have failed endeavors at work or at school. We have health issues. We have difficulty getting along with a family member or a friend. Almost everyone is living a difficult life with huge disappointments. And therefore, we need to be reassured. There are times when we can feel frustrated and discouraged. And we just wish someone would come alongside and search us out and stand next to us. And we can be those people. What should we say? Should we try to make her laugh? Get her mind off the situation? I submit that that's my default approach. So there's tension coming. I want to tell a joke. Generally not a very good joke. You've heard a lot of those jokes. So my mind's thinking, what joke can I tell right now? What do we say when someone is imprisoned for their faith? When they've lost their job, when a child has walked away and said, I hate you, Mom. I hate you, Dad. When a family member has cut off relationships? Do we make her laugh? Do we take him out golfing? Our words can be a valuable tool to cheer up and encourage a person who's down. Proverbs 25 says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. Good friends discover the words of reassurance that are needed. By offering words of encouragement, we can help discourage people face their present and their future with courage and a positive outlook. Good Christian friends reassure because they speak from and to the heart. They tie the Word of God to a specific life situation that their friends are facing. No platitudes. We've had enough of platitudes. We don't say, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. Really? What reason? For what reason did my son get cancer? Did God plan that? Some things happen because of sin in the world. Not because of your sin, but just the presence of sin in the world. Some things happen because people are evil. How reassuring is that? Scripture doesn't say everything happens for a reason. It doesn't say that God wanted that in your life. What Scripture tells us is that we are fallen, that we are lost, that we need Christ. And it tells us that whatever things come into our lives, He will use them for His good. It does not say He brings illness into your life because He's teaching you a lesson. There would be no illness if there were no sin. There would be no weeds if there were no sin. Which of the plants that you planted sinned that caused weeds to grow next to it? We don't speak platitudes. We rather speak truth and bringing Scripture into our relationships. We don't say, God wants these things to happen in your life. We say, I know this is hard. I know this is no fun. Let's not blame God. Let's look for how God's going to use this to bring about His glory. And sometimes we just need the reassurance of a friend standing with us during difficult times. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. Or, you want a cup of coffee? You can offer that to me all day long and you know it's not going to get any. Offer me a soda. Diet. That's what Onesiphorus did for Paul. He stood next to him. When others walked away, Onesiphorus stayed. He not only stayed, but he ministered to Paul. He served him. We don't know how he was served, but Paul reminds Timothy that what Onesiphorus did was well known. When we are lacking confidence, sometimes we just need someone to offer us a little service. Small acts of service often create great reassurance. We're praying during our 40-day fast that others would recognize their significance And virtually everyone is on a search for significance. And as we grow older, that search intensifies. As we face the sunset of our lives, we want to know that we have been more than merely a pawn in life, that our life has mattered. Paul will write in chapter 4 with a hint towards his own quest for understanding his significance. And here is Onesiphorus, not ashamed, serving him and loving on him, reassuring him in the sunset of his life. And I suggest that you take a 3x5 card and reassure somebody. Just say, you know, you've been significant to me. I love the way you have prayed for my kids. I love the way that you have sung. I love the way that you have... Thank you. Good friends are refreshing. Good friends are reassuring. And finally, we see the rewards of a good friendship. I like what it says in verses 17 and 18. When he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. Isn't it nice to know someone cares about you? Where there's a person, when you come to church, that you know is going to find you. They're going to walk across the sanctuary in order to say, hey, how you doing? They might even sit next to you as long as you showered this week. Actually, a good friend will sit next to you even if you didn't shower this week. There's that stupid humor. See, a good friend looks for you. Someone who looks for you, notices when you're gone. Notice what Paul says. He searched earnestly and found me. Having someone you want to make contact with. Want to make sure you connect with somebody. When I go to conferences, I have friends like that. Every Sunday morning, I have a friend who texts me. A fellow pastor. One of us will always text first. I had to tell him to stop texting me at 5 on Sunday morning. You know, I'm still sleeping at 5 o'clock in the morning. But he texts and says, just, God bless you today. Hey, I'm praying for you today. Hey, I'm preaching on this passage today. Looking forward to it. And when we go to conferences, I look to see, is he here? Did he register? And he looks for me. Faces you look for in a crowd. And not just a cursory glance, but earnestly searching. And the rewards of friendship are not a one-way street. It may be that Onesiphorus had more to offer Paul at this time than Paul had to offer him. But notice Paul's prayer in verse 18. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. May the Lord show him mercy. One of the rewards of a good friendship is that good friends pray for the spiritual well-being of one another. Notice the last thing that Paul says of Onesiphorus. He says to Timothy, you know well all the service he rendered. That's an amazing statement. Here's this guy, virtually unknown, who, you've read through the Bible, you've read his name before, but Onesiphorus, not exactly one of the top 5 characters of the Bible, maybe not even the top 20 in terms of names you remember. You know, first we got to see if we can remember the 12 apostles. You know, so he's got at least down beyond the 12, and then you throw in the Old Testament. And Onesiphorus, well known to the churches, to Timothy, the service he rendered to Paul. Which causes me to believe that Paul had spoken of Onesiphorus before. Good friends speak well of one another. That is a reward of good friendship. They remind others of the good things their friends have done. They enhance one another's reputation. The thing is that we make a choice. Will we be a good friend? Will we be intentional about refreshing others? Will we be intentional about reassuring them in their times of difficulty? Will we be a part of the rewards of a good friendship? Because each of these are a choice. There is a difference between being a friend and being a good friend. Good friends will bring out the best in you. Good friends can be counted upon to refresh you, reassure you, and reward you. Good friends bring out the truth in you. Friendship, it is, as the scripture says, a good thing. A friend loves at all times and wounds at times. But the wounds of a friend are faithful. And we are told not to forsake our friends. Like Jonathan and David, a good friend protects you. Like Moses and Aaron, a good friend helps you. Like Ruth and Naomi, a good friend sticks with you. Like Elijah and Elisha, a good friend promotes you. Like Paul and Onesiphorus, a good friend refreshes, reassures, and rewards you. Who's your good friend? Who have you chosen to be a good friend to? Let us pray. Father, help us to be intentional, to be a good friend, after the order of Onesiphorus.